Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as we dig into the scriptures to find out how to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God.
The mystery of godliness. And that is when a Christian is able to live in the middle of pressures of the world, dangers, not to be conformed through different fears to where you can remain steadfast with a firm and loving character. And the ultimate secret is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Letting His life flow through us, being emptied of self, getting rid of flesh as a lifestyle.
Well, Janie, I want to start this week by reading chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And in the last part of chapter 3, Paul is reminding the Corinthians that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that they are God's husbandry, they are God's building, that they shouldn't use the wisdom of the world, but they should use the wisdom of God, that the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. And, you know, we've commingled our Christianity and our culture so much that we are no longer the light and salt to an unbelieving world. We don't know how to stand. We have no real roots dug deep, and our foundation doesn't look like Christ at all.
Well, you've made a good point there, and that is the foundations being deep, and that is where our roots are. And as we've discussed in the past, we know that the foundation is based upon what Jesus Christ has called us to and what He has provided. Sharon, I think that Paul, in his describing stewardship to the Corinthian church and doing it in a context of bringing in the mysteries, is because the mysteries really do encompass all the foundations that are needed for us to effectually minister as salt and light, as you have described. Now, last week we just touched on the mystery of Christ. That wasn't all the mysteries. That was just one small mystery that had many facets to it.
Well, I also want to reiterate that mysteries are not something mystical. These are hidden truths that, because the Spirit is alive and dwells in us, that we are able to hear and receive those hidden truths.
Yes, and one of the
because they're spiritually discerned.
They're spiritually discerned, but it also, when we talk about secrets or mysteries, it's because it was not made known before the time of the church.
Okay.
It was not described, given commands or edicts to in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Although the mysteries were known at the Godhead before the foundations of the world, but now they're practically to be understood and exercised by the church.
What I'm hearing you say is that there's kind of two facets to that. Not only are they spiritually discerned, but there are some that were just not made known before the church age.
The Old Testament didn't have a clue about the church.
Okay.
They knew that there was something beyond them that they were living for, but they didn't know what it was.
Okay.
Just like we know there's something that we're going to be living for throughout the millennial and throughout eternity, but we don't really have it all to where we could dissect it or give it to somebody as a program guide.
Okay.
All right.
All right, got it.
So there, you can say there's two folds to that. What I'd like to do is just kind of intermingle this visit today with the requirements of a steward and the mysteries that they are required to understand.
Okay, well, we have to be stewards of mysteries. We can't be stewards of something we don't understand.
That's right. In other words, we may not have all the... Well, let me put it to you this way. When you get your operation manual for a new car, you read usually the cheat sheet at the very front, and it gives you the general things that you need to know to get the car started and put into gear and move. But then as you go on, you take that operating manual and you open it up to particular sections of how do I
fix my car radio?
How
do I program my phone to it?
Or what do I do when the air conditioner won't come out in the back? You know, whatever it may be. So we are constantly learning and unfolding.
Okay.
So let's just go for a few minutes on the basic mysteries. Mm-hmm. These are basically a few of the majors that we need to know to get started. And one of them is we need to understand the mystery of the kingdom.
Okay, the kingdom of God.
Well, the kingdom of God, there's a kingdom of heaven. Now, we're not going to go there because there's a difference.
Oh, okay.
But there is also the kingdom of God is universal. The kingdom of heaven has to do with more specifics, more of a specified part in your advanced manual.
All right.
I'm going to use that as a guideline. Then you have the mystery of iniquity or of lawlessness. And Sharon, we often wonder, why are we never able to make any progress when it comes to solving human dilemmas? Why is every generation, without exception, repeating the same struggles, problems of the previous generation? It's because of the mystery of iniquity, of sin.
Okay.
All right? So then we also have the mystery of godliness. My, what a mystery. And that is when a Christian is enabled to live in the middle of pressures of the world, dangers, not to be conformed through different fears to where you can remain steadfast, but you can remain with a firm and loving character. And really the secret, I'll give you a secret to this mystery, and the ultimate secret is Christ in you. The hope of glory, letting his life flow through us, as we have talked about, being emptied of self, getting rid of flesh as a lifestyle, recognizing flesh has been crucified now, and how do we walk in that victory? By the way, Sharon, do you have your Bible open to Colossians to where you could just let people know where that ultimate secret lies?
Yes, Colossians 1:26 and 27. Even the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
So the riches, okay? We don't want to miss the riches that he has equipped us with, not only for right now, but the riches that will be constantly increased as we know more about the complete instruction manual, as we're in his presence. The riches will just go on and on and on. But right now, we have enough of the riches to effectually be a good steward. And Sharon, if we just wanted to spend the rest of the program in silence, meditating on three words, Christ in you.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to stop and just be still and let the Lord speak to us about all that he is.
Well, you know, if you say Christ in you, the hope of glory, what does that mean? The hope of glory.
And the hope for us is not I hope so. It's a guarantee that we just cannot see right now the fullness of everything that is, but it's a guarantee.
But we have the hope. We have that hope.
Yes. And that's why we don't lose heart. Mm-hmm. When we go through difficult training.
Right.
And by the way, let me say that some of the things we go through in our training that would cause us to lose heart, that we think, oh, I've failed again, or why can't I ever get my act together? Why does this keep happening? It's got nothing to do with you and your failure. It's got to do with equipping you for the person that's next to you over here that's failing.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through it like a trial run so that when the Lord sovereignly brings them into your life, you can say, hey, we've got that.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ has got that. Been there, done that. He has shown how he is victorious, and now he's privileging me to be a witness unto you that Christ in you is the hope of your glory.
Right.
You can have it too.
Right.
So don't lose heart. But some of the things we go through are part of our training, not to get on our case, but to equip us to effectually know how to understand those that we are called to minister.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Okay.
Which helps us be the light and salt. Not only to the unbelieving world, but to each other. I mean, there are times that I need the light shone on me. I love the Lord, but there are things that I go through, just like when I went through cancer. There were people that shone the light of Christ to me. They prayed for me. There were situations when I felt down, and to shine that light to say, hey, God's still there. Don't get your eyes off of that.
And now you have just explained the last major mystery we want to talk about today, and that's the mystery of the church. To be light and salt to an unbelieving world, to be a witness and have an impact on letting the world see us, to be an encourager
mm-hmm.
to the body of Christ,
right.
The church, to keep them up and running when they want to get down. We talk in the scriptures about a twofold or a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Right.
And in the difficult times that we're living through right now, one of the biggest deterrents and hindrances for the body of Christ to remain light and salt is that they must recognize their fears and be an overcomer of their fears. We all right now are walking on unsteady soil. We don't know what the social media, the news, mm-hmm. or world events or politics are going to bring up. They can change drastically on a 24-hour basis. And so how does the church remain stable?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's so many things that we can help one another with. Are we binding and bonding ourselves together in a heart of love? Are we really caring for one another, or are we just giving political churchy niceness? Are we really willing to sacrifice for our brothers and sisters unless they go against what we think?
Mm.
Are we offended when they say something that's not in our comfort zone, but maybe we need to hear it?
Right.
Just like Paul is saying things that are making the church at Corinth uncomfortable.
Right.
But they're not responding very well. They're reacting with defensiveness or over explanation or getting on his case for him trying to help them with their problem.
Well, and I think that goes back to the gold and silver and precious stones that we talked about in building our character. You know, as a body of Christ, it is important for us to be transparent with each other, that we can be a witness to each other and not be tarnished by the toxins that are all around us. You know, we talked about that silver, you know, it tarnishes easy.
Mm-hmm.
From the toxins that are around us. And so gold is transparent and silver is easily tarnished. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow the things that are going on in the world to tarnish us and cause us to turn green. Mm. You know?
And let me say something that you said to give a clarification. Today, gold is not transparent. If you see gold, It's a solid color.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see through it.
Right.
But when we are then in eternity, the streets of gold will be transparent.
Right.
I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
But today, the point about gold, and I know we're kind of backtracking here, but the thing about gold is the more pure the gold, which we talked about mm-hmm. the refining process, the softer the metal.
Okay.
You can't make jewelry out of 24 karat gold. It's too soft.
Okay.
But now stop to think about gold as a building block with your heart being soft, sensitive,
pliable
lasting,
yeah.
all right, with a solidity, but nevertheless, and then Sharon, here's the ouch. The more the fire, the pure the gold, the softer the heart.
Right.
All right, but we don't...
Which, if we have a soft heart, we will be transparent.
Good point.
It is only in the rigidness and the hardness of our heart that we go, in pride, that we would not be transparent to encourage the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters, in the situations that we've been in. Oh, I did that. Oh, I've felt that. Oh, I've said that. You know, that the softer our heart, the more transparent we will be.
Beautifully spoken, sister. Okay. Enough said.
Okay.
Right. I just didn't want somebody to say, well, those girls have evidently not seen any gold. But for our listening audience, Sharon and I have a love to take anything that is a reality and move it into the spiritual reality.
Yeah.
That's where our hearts have been bonded together. And I thank the Lord for that, Sharon. But sometimes what keeps us from bonding in the body of Christ, and that is fear.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to recognize that we live in an alien world. The church does not really have land to inherit. We are sojourners here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we have a home that we have here? And are we praying for our nation as a nation and being a part of that? But we need to never lose heart or thinking that we're passing through this earth. What's the old spiritual? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
Yeah.
The treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
Yeah.
All right. So we need to keep our focus on our calling as the unique purpose for why God has people on planet Earth right now in this dispensation. And some people will argue that word, and we're not going there today, but dispensation is a point in time as how God has dealt with people.
You also call it an economy.
An economy.
A time of economy.
Yes, and sometimes that word works better. One point before we move on, Sharon, that I would like to bring out for the church and for our foundation and for our practically administering the mysteries as a steward.
Okay.
And that is, at salvation, every believer is given a spiritual gift.
Okay.
It is the owner of the estate giving a special endowment to the steward to be able to effectually manage the estate.
Okay.
And that will be a supernatural ability through the Spirit. So we don't want to grieve or quench the Spirit and nullify His being able to effectually work through us. And so as we look at one another, we need to say, do we know our spiritual gift?
Well, I think a lot of people think that you have to know your spiritual gift before you go into ministry. And if you're not going to go into ministry, then you don't need to know what spiritual gift you have. You're just a Christian, and that's all that matters, that you love the Lord, and that's it. And so spiritual gifts are for people going into ministry. And I think that is the mindset.
Wow. And what a deceptive mindset when God commands us to know our gifts and effectually use our gifts if we're going to produce fruit.
Okay, so I'm just a Christian that goes to church. Why do I need to produce fruit?
Because your Heavenly Father, the estate owner, has commanded it.
So He expects me to manage the field and what He's left here to produce something. And that goes back to the talents, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And there is not a lot of happy words for the person who wants to protect that talent or that gift. And I knew you were a hard taskmaster, so I went and buried it so I could have it ready to give back to you when you return.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you didn't want to multiply the graciousness, the benefit package that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and the Spirit have given to every believer. This is not something for just the talented. This is not somebody for in public ministry. This is for every child of God.
Well, I think that's the deception that we have fallen for, Janie.
Yes.
That we don't need to know our spiritual gift. We don't need to know where God has gifted us in anything, because we're really not gifted in anything. That's given to those that God's called out special.
And that, again, is just another deception of the enemy. And mm-hmm. we need to get that replaced with truth. There are people that have been in church for 40, 50 years that are true believers, that when you ask them what their spiritual gift is, they don't know.
Right.
And the other sadness is, if they don't know, they still have that spiritual gift and they're still using it, but they're using it
in their flesh.
Thank you. I'm glad you said it, not me. Yes, they're misusing a gracious gift, just as many times we abuse the grace of God.
Okay.
And that brings about a quenching and a grieving of the Holy Spirit. And we need Him now so that we can be effectual stewards. So if you hear what we're saying, we are weaving a ball where the string can't be broken. It's all tied in together. Your servanthood, your stewardship,
your giftedness,
your mm-hmm. faithfulness, your going through trials.
Building your character.
Yes. So, and then, I don't know how much time we have today, Sharon, but we need to also go back, and I want us to go to Hebrews 4, which is one of my favorite chapters, okay. because everything we're talking about does have a day of reckoning, but before that day of reckoning, in Hebrews 4, let's just turn there, we find that, we can start off in chapter 3 just saying that in chapter 3, the author of Hebrews tells us in the third chapter that we are holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, and that we need to know that Christ is a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Okay. That's a nice way of saying you stay in the game until the finish.
Right.
Okay. And I will make a comment here, Sharon, and that is a lot of us can play some pretty sloppy games during the course of our life. Mm-hmm. But Sharon, we must finish strong. It's how you finish the race that the prize is given at the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
I was watching the Tour de France the other day, and there were those that had some real problems, breakdowns, heat issues, what have you. But then one gentleman at the very back of the pack, at the very last few minutes, absolutely came on stronger than anyone could imagine and came from very behind at the very last and wound up going across the finish line first.
Wow.
He finished the race strong and he got the prize. Now, the pack had been moving along steadily as a pack and they were doing their thing and trying to gauge one another mm-hmm. and what have you, but this person knew how they wanted to run the race, and they knew they had to finish strong, and they gave an appearance that didn't look like they were even hardly in the race. They were at the back.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the purpose, the calling, the dedication, the planning, the strategizing to yeah. finish strong.
Right.
And they did.
Okay.
Now, boy, that should be a lesson to all
yes,
of us.
Absolutely.
And the reason I say that is because in Hebrews 4:13, it says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And so then it closes in this chapter with saying, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find and obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. So we are going to give an account to the estate owner when he returns.
Amen.
All right.
Well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.